Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 30 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to once again thank those joining us on the radio dial here at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com. Whether you listen to us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast, we're glad to have all of you with us. Our guest for this morning is someone who wrote a book that when I initially read it last year, I think it really kind of helped me as I was preparing for a big change in my own life. The title of the book is Meditation, The Complete Guide, Techniques from East and West to Calm the Mind, Heal the Body, and Enrich the Spirit. Patricia Monahan will be joining us live to talk to us about the book, also about her personal journey and really, I think, investigating spirituality, and then to be able to share with people, not only as an author, but also as a poet as well. Her work has been highly praised, and I think you'll see why as we're going throughout this conversation. One of the things that I noticed in the book, really from the very beginning, was that there are different types of meditation, and that is something I don't think is really talked about a great deal. We're going to talk to Patricia about the three types of meditation that they address in the book. We also are going to get into something else I think is important, and that is how can you make it work for you and yourself and also for your own situation. So we're looking forward to talking to Patricia about that. Before we get into that, though, here's our single for the day. Here is Ruben Studdard with I'm Single. We'll be right back with Conversations Live. Make sure you stay with us.
June 28th, I was saying I do to my bride. And 2 years later in October, we said goodbye. And my bed's been so cold in the space you occupy. And what I want to say is, baby, I miss you. And when I see you in the street, I'ma speak. But now it's official. Lady, I'm single. So when you see me on the street, don't be scared to speak. I'ma need another lady. I'ma need another lady.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 35 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, and that was Ruben Studdard's new single, I'm Single, here on Conversations Live, on the radio side of our program at 92.3. As I mentioned, today we're going to be speaking with author Patricia Monahan. She's the author of the book, Meditation, The Complete Guide, Techniques from East and West to Calm the Mind, Heal the Body, and Enrich the Spirit. Patricia's going to be talking to us not only about her journey, but also what she hopes you all take away from the book. Patricia, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hello, Cyrus, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on with us, Patricia. I really enjoyed this book. I was telling our listeners actually earlier before our break that this is one of those books I read last year, and it really helps you to look at your life and also to look at the things in the world a little bit differently. One of the things I think has been so amazing about your career, Patricia, as an author and also as a poet, is how your work has really struck a chord with people. I'd like to start there, if you don't mind. And what has it been like for you to know that something that you're obviously so passionate about sharing has been so widely received?
I'm smiling here because the life of an author is really very isolated, and I send things out hoping that it will strike a chord for someone, and it just thrills my heart when I hear it does. I think for many of us, whether we're professional writers or not, we feel that we have something we would like to tell the world. And in the new world now of the internet and blogs and so forth, there's much more availability. I've been very blessed in my life to have connected with terrific editors and terrific publishers who've helped me along the way. But I believe that everybody has something to say, something to special that they want to share with the world. And I'm delighted that now people can find their way out into self-expression so readily without there being quite so many steps along the way. On the other hand, I did have awfully good editors who taught me a lot, taught me how to craft my words. I'm remembering just now one of them who retired from the New York Times and went back to work running a university news service, and I was his kind of girl Friday. And I would write something, and every morning, 8 o'clock, he would take his cup of coffee and he would edit me. Here was this, like, sterling mind, and he would look up over his little glasses and say, did you really mean to say the committee had their meeting? Is committee plural or singular? Oh. So I bless my editors. They have been very, very great teachers for me. But, you know, essentially we do each bring something to the world, something that is our special gift. Whether we express that through our love for our family, our work in our church, you know, our nurturance of our gardens, we're expressing that particular divine gift out into the world.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Patricia, I the reason I was looking forward to speaking with you is because the word meditation is used today so loosely. We hear people, whether it is in either, you know, religious circles, even secular circles, using the word meditation, hearing about people who say, you know, that they meditate and it helps them to become grounded, to become centered. And then you look at the state that we're in today in the world, and it's very obvious that most of the world is not grounded, not centered. When you approach this topic, because what I love about it is that you didn't just take one facet of it. You really looked at, and you really began the book discussing there's different ways to approach meditation. What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about what it means to meditate and what meditation is?
Great question, great question. I want to give credit, by the way, to my co-author, who's a biochemist and yoga teacher, Eleanor Virick. She is 80 years old and I think looks about 50 and is a remarkable person and brought so much to the book. In our discussion of what constituted meditation, we early discovered that there are some people who would define it very narrowly. It would be, meditation is what I do, and that's it. And in some cases that might come out of a religious or spiritual tradition that for some people might be uncomfortable or inappropriate. So we wanted to say, okay, if it's not just that you're doing something out of a religious tradition, what is it? And we came up with the idea that meditation is what centers you in the moment. Much of meditation, many traditional meditations, start with the breath. And if you think of the profundity of awareness of your breath, the breath I breathe right now is the only breath I can breathe. I cannot breathe tomorrow's air, and I can't fix the bad breath of yesterday. It's got to be now. So meditation is about being here now, as Ram Dass said many years ago. It's centering in the present. You can do activities. For example, we looked at craft as meditation. It's possible to use the repetitive motions of craft work as a form of meditation, but not if you're rushing to meet a deadline for Christmas. Meditation is, its purpose is to be doing the meditation and not to be getting something out of it, which is paradoxical in that people often start meditating because they want to get something out of it. We define three sort of main reasons that people might be drawn into meditation. Only one of them was spiritual. Some people are drawn to meditation because they want to enhance their spiritual life. But a great number of people just want to see some lack of stress. They want to feel a little more on top of things. They don't want to be, they might want to lower their blood pressure. There's also people who want to meditate because they've learned, and there are studies that show this, that being more centered will actually enhance their performance. So athletes and artists are particularly often drawn to meditation for those reasons. I think that no matter why you come into meditation, eventually you do drift toward a spiritual sense, and I mean that in the broadest way, not necessarily a definition of a specific divine being, but you become less invested in the momentary things of, you know, what the church might call the flesh of the devil, and more in tune with the spirit. That's what people, I think, eventually move toward. But you can meditate for many years entirely for stress reduction. Another one of those paradoxes of meditation, though, is if you're sitting there going down, blood pressure down, you're really stressing yourself more and not really meditating. You're putting yourself in that framework of will-driven action. Right. And meditation means letting go of that will-driven action.
And that
there are so many forms of meditation, too. I mean, whoever you are, you will find forms of meditation that are appropriate to you.
And that is what I think is so interesting about the book. And I want to say for those that are just coming in, you're listening to Conversations Live, I'm speaking with Patricia Monahan. She's a co-author of the book Meditation, The Complete Guide. I mean, she said she co-authored it with Eleanor Varick. The subtitle of the book is Techniques from East and West to Calm the Mind, Heal the Body, and Spirit. And I'm so glad you said that about there's so many kinds and there's so many ways, because that's one of the things that you do in the book. You look at from all around the world. You look at different ways that different cultures and people approach meditation, but then you end each chapter, no matter where you might be focusing at that particular chapter, you end it on the contemporary use or how our the readers of the book can take it and be able to practice. Talk to us about the time frame, because I have to say this is written in such a comprehensive way. I'm just curious as to how much time it took you and Eleanor as well to be able to compile the information for the book and to put it together.
This actually is the second edition. We first did the book in the 90s, and it took us about 3 years. It took us about a year just to figure out what would be in the book, because there hadn't been a book that defined meditation broadly like this. Most books on meditation will talk about one tradition.
Right.
Often, for example, Buddhist meditation, which is a grand tradition, or yogic meditation. So you can find, a book that tells you about one form. And at the time we began in the early 90s, mid-90s, the American Medical Association had just published some articles about meditation as a therapy that works for hypertension, high blood pressure, for chronic pain and insomnia. And we knew there would be people who would be looking for meditation. And if you look and you only find this is the one way and you try that and it's not one that works for you, then you're likely to say, oh, well, you know, I tried that. I can't meditate. But in fact, you may have just tried the wrong form. Or in our research in preparing to write the book, we found that there were some people who were warned off meditation as inappropriate for them. One of the ways in which I do research on a book is I recommend this to any potential writers, go to bookstores and ask a clerk for the book that you plan to write. So I went to a bookstore in a very, very Christian suburb of Chicago, in Wheaton, and I said, I'm looking for a book on meditation because I have high blood pressure. And the clerk leaned all over toward me and said, you don't want to do that. That's the work of the devil. And my eyes popped open because I didn't think of it that way. And then I realized, did a little more research and realized that there were indeed some Christians who were told that meditation was not Christian. And yet there are great traditions of Christian meditation. So we, having cast our net broadly, then we came up with our list of types of meditation and we divided it up and we committed ourselves. Between us, we practiced already many of the forms of meditation in the book. But we made sure that every form of meditation we practiced. It's not written in the first person, but we wanted to have the experience before we did any writing, because that's different than writing just from what you read. Right. An important part of meditation is it's not a theory, it's a practice. And if you don't practice it, then you're going to think about it differently. You're going to write about it differently. So every form of meditation in the book was actually practiced by one or both of us in the process of writing. And then the process of writing took about two and a half years, and then there was the editing, and it finally came out. I think the first edition was in 99. I would say the biggest difference between now and then is the single word Google. When we did the first edition... When we did the first edition, we would have to methodically go to libraries and research, and Interlibrary Loan knew us very well as we were ordering books from all over the world to read. Now, it's almost the opposite extreme. If you put in meditation, I could turn to my computer right now and put in meditation, I could give you the exact number of hits. It would probably be in the millions.
Yeah.
So there's almost too much information out there. If you're seeking to find about meditation, you will not have any trouble finding it, but you may have trouble sorting through the incredible amount of material that is now easily available to people.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that is one of the great things about your book, is you've kind of taken, and as you said, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Eleanor, and you actually, the different forms of meditation that you address in the book are things that you yourself, you know, have tried. And so you can, when you're talking about the contemporary youth, of course, you would know it. One of the things that I have begun after reading the book, actually, Patricia, and I give you guys credit for this, is the form of meditation that you talk about in the book of journaling.
Our
listeners who may not have even thought about journaling as a way to meditate, talk to us about that form for you and what you've heard people getting from it.
That's a very interesting form because there are great journals that have been published. I think of Anais Nin, for example, who made a career of publishing her journals. And part of the point of meditative journaling is you don't think of an audience. You're really talking to yourself and you're allowing your thoughts to emerge. One of the most profound ways to do that is the thing called free writing that a writing teacher named Peter Elbow introduced in the 70s. This means just writing freely. You're not waiting for the muse to speak and staring at the ceiling looking for the right word. You're just writing freely. And in the free writing, you're really trying to undo the editorial voice that says, oh, you can't spell that. Oh, don't use that word. But just let yourself go and into the flow of writing. Again, one of the paradoxes of this form of meditation seems to be filled with paradox to me. if you free write regularly, you actually become a better writer. So if you were to be wanting to enhance your writing skills, pre-writing is a great way to do it. Now, it does not seem to make sense to say, make as many mistakes as you want, just write freely, don't worry where the commas are, and that will make you a better writer. And yet it does, and I think the main reason is, and I think we can globalize this in a way, when we're writing, if we're not writing freely, we're constantly interrupting ourselves with that self-critical voice.
Right.
So, the, oh, the's not good, no, no, I, oh, don't start with I. So we haven't even put our first word down, and we're already editing. So by free writing, we go into the flow of the language coming through us, and we humble ourselves to our mistakes. I think that kind of taking away the self-critical voice is part of many meditation forms. The self-critical voice is really quite arrogant. That's not really the divine speaking to us, telling us, you know, how to become a better person. That's just a carping little part of our ego saying, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake. If you're going to meditate, you have to really humble yourself to not doing it perfectly every day. You know, being awkward in your Tai Chi movements, you know, but doing it. And as I say, the point of meditation is to do it, is to practice. This being the beginning of the year, you know, lots of people are turning over new leaves and, you know,
right,
making New Year's resolutions and stuff, although it's now late enough in the new year that probably people have broken their resolutions by this time. But a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, change my life. I'm going to start meditating. But if you were to say, I'm going to meditate an hour a day, the likelihood is definitely by this time into the month you would have probably fallen off. It's better to think of small periods of meditation. Start small and do it regularly than it is to think, I'm going to devote one weekend a month to being entirely silent and still. That probably won't happen. Mm. But we all have 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Somewhere in our day we can squeeze in. And whether we're doing contemplative reading, which is a great, you know, form of meditation that has a lot of ties to Christianity, although many traditions have used sacred texts for meditation, or whether we're doing movement meditation like Qigong or Tai Chi or yoga, it really is better to do it regularly than it is to, you know, plan to kind of save it up and, you know, do it all 4 hours on the weekend. It's also better to do a small amount every day until you get into the rhythm than it is to plan to, you know, devote an hour a day. Most people in our busy lives don't have an hour a day. But we
right.
can all find that 10 or 15 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that is the thing, to find a place where you can start, because that's sometimes the hardest part of this whole thing, is to begin. And I think if you can make it something reasonable, like you said, Patricia, 10 or 15 minutes, it definitely helps us to say, okay, you know what, I can do that. I can take out that time and really do it. This is a great conversation, Patricia, and I'm so glad you've been able to come on and to discuss this with us. Again, the book is called Meditation, The Complete Guide, Techniques from East and West to Calm the Mind, Heal the Body, and Enrich the Spirit. Patricia wrote the book with Ellen Overick. As she said, the book is available right now on Amazon.com, but Patricia also has her personal website, which is patricia-monahan.com, is where you can go to find that, and she's on Facebook as well. Patricia, we appreciate you taking out the time this morning to share with us, and we look forward to staying in contact with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, Patricia. I do appreciate that, and I will let you know how the journaling continues throughout the year as well.
Keep journaling. You have my email. Tell me how it goes.
I definitely will do that. Thank you. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we have our resident chef, Bruce Treader, bringing us our quick and easy cooking tip of the day. You're listening to us here at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.
Character building counts. Have you weaved a character-building message such as goodness, honesty, leadership, empathy, or responsibility into your book of any genre?